So I invite you to take the Spiritual Seeker's Guide. It should just be one page, but I guess I didn't push front and back when I was printing it off, so it's two pages. I want to talk about anger and mankind, and really just to look some of the examples of people who were angry and the results of an uncontrolled anger. And also, just mention a few ways in which a Christian should handle their anger. A lot of times, when we look at the type of emotions we have, they really swing through a spectrum of emotions. There's a variety of emotions that we all can have, and sometimes within a short sequence of events. We could go through happiness, and we can go through sadness. We can go through anger. We can go through love and hate, fear. We can be rejoicing. We can be disappointed. And that list could go on and on and on. There's really no limit then of how we can have various emotions. One of the most common human emotions is anger. And oftentimes in Scripture, you'll see it referred to as the word wrath. And the question that I propose here, right here at the beginning, is anger always sinful? And the answer is no, because look over at Ephesians 4:26. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. So if we're told that when we're angry, there is a possibility that we could be angry and not sin. Now, he goes on and says other things that we'll notice later on in this verse. But it is held out there that you could experience the emotion of anger and still it not be sinful in your life. You know, with our Lord, we refer to it oftentimes, I believe correctly, as righteous indignation. Come over here to the book of Matthew, if you will. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, and you'll recognize this passage as Jesus is in the temple, and he is upset, he's angry over those who are selling items in the temple. He says, you made the house of the Lord a den of thieves, a house of prayer, a den of thieves. But look at verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. I want to ask you, was our Lord upset with those money changers? Well, there's no doubt. He was upset. And he overthrew their table. And I imagine their items and their money and everything went everywhere. Did he have a right to be upset? Well, the answer is yes to that also. Because they had taken the house of prayer, the house of God, and made it a den of thieves. But even though that is the case, when we think that there are times when we can be angry and still not sin, a vast preponderance of times when folks are angry, unfortunately, they probably do sin. And I don't know how we could ever measure that, but I would just try to say that generally, when people get that angry, when they get so upset in their lives, many times it leads to sin. And a person who is an angry person and known as a hothead, that is a heavy burden to bear in their life. The proverbial writer wrote in the 27th chapter, verses 3 and 4, he said, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty. He's talking about a burden, a great burden. But a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Just kind of, you know, strap that around your neck. a fool's wrath, that anger. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent. So strap that around your neck for a while. Let yourself then be an angry person. And really, I'm just saying that in kind of a sarcastic way. Let yourself be known as an angry person. And if you're that, I tell you what, it's going to be a heavy burden to bear in your life. And if we're not careful, people will identify us that way. They will say, you know, Bob over here, you don't want to be around him very much. He's just an old hothead. He flies off the handle. Or you better walk around Sister So-and-so. Because if you don't, boy, she's sure going to snap at you. She's going to let you know all about it. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you do not want to have that moniker of being known as someone who cannot control their anger. And so what then are some of the ramifications of uncontrolled anger? And how can we go about the process of controlling this anger? We want to just look at a few biblical examples then of some of the ramifications of this anger. And let's start back in 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman, and you and I know it very well. Naaman, then, he has leprosy, and he is a commander of the army of the king of Syria, a great and honorable man. And Naaman then finally has the prophet sent to him. And Elisha is going to tell Naaman exactly what he needs to do. Now, Naaman had in his own mind what he needed to do. And it was not what Elisha said. Remember what Elisha said? Elisha said, Naaman, what you need to do is you need to go down to the River Jordan, and you need to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you will be made clean. You would think that Naaman would think that this is such an easy remedy. You mean just go down to the water and dip 7 times and I'll be clean? But that's not how he responded. As a matter of fact, when he heard the remedy, he became very upset and angry. Notice then the reading in verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosies. And he goes on to say, well, aren't the waters in this river or that river better than the River Jordan? But eventually, he does obey God. Initially, he is disobedient to God. And sometimes when we try to teach someone the plan of salvation, and we talk about a similar act, say the act of baptism, initially, they may be like Naaman. They may be upset. They may think, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be baptized. What is water then have to do with it? And so they may really genuinely be upset. And so that's one of the consequences of uncontrolled anger. Another one is someone may choose to do something their own way. Let's look over here in 2 Chronicles 26, because here we have the example of King Uzziah. And the problem, Uzziah has many problems, but one of the problems is he wants to usurp the role of a priest, and he wants to act like a priest himself, even though he had absolutely no right to do such. But yet, he wants to do it his own way. Look at 2 Chronicles 26, then, in your Bibles. And let's pick up the reading in verse 17. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. Now, how is Uzziah, how is he going to respond then to these men who came to stop him from performing the function of a priest? He was not from the tribe. He was not a Levite, nor was he a son of Aaron. How is he going to act to that? Is he going to say, well, yeah, you know, after thinking about it, you're right. I have no business to be doing this. Well, no, that's not how he reacted. Look at verse 19. Then Uzziah became furious. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, besides the incense. Now you think about it. Could we be guilty of the same thing? Could we choose our way over God's way? What if someone said, you know what? What we need to do with what's in the contribution, we need to do just about anything we want to do. Let's say what it's going to do to attract people into this building, that what we need to do is we need to have a great circus out here in the yard. Right? And let's just go ahead and have a circus. And while we're at it, why don't we just build a swimming pool over here? Why don't we do that? And while we're at it, why don't we just take this money and let's just engage in just about anything that we can that will attract people to the church. You know, some groups do that. Is that what we need to be engaged in? Or are we going to say, no, we need to do things God's way. We need to act the way that He tells us to do it. And not just act with our own ideas and our own think-sos. I want to tell you something else anger can do. Anger can cause us to resent someone who wants to do, I should say someone or something, that wants to do the right thing. And you'll know what I'm talking about when I say the something in just a second. Over here in the book of Numbers, you may remember how that Balaam was hired by Balak to pronounce a curse on the children of Israel. And Balaam went to pronounce that curse, but his donkey prevented him from going on the way. And so it's really kind of a comical scene. If we saw this actually play out in real life, we would be amazed, but it would be kind of comical. Look at Numbers then, chapter 22, beginning in verse 25. And let's read just a bit of it. We're not going to read all of this, but, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall, crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Now, that's not the funny part. The funny part and the amazing part is when the donkey starts to speak to Balaam, verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." Isn't that amazing? Balaam, aren't you afraid when the donkey speaks to you? Doesn't it tell you that something is going on that's unusual, out of the ordinary? He doesn't seem to get it. And so the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And so Balaam then understood exactly what was going on. But did you see that he got angry? The donkey was doing the right thing. Wasn't the donkey doing the right thing? Even though the donkey wasn't obeying the mass, fell down, was doing the right thing. But Balaam got mad at that which was doing right. And I want to tell you, as we walk our Christian journey in life, then we are going to be compelled to do what is right. But don't be surprised if someone becomes angry with you when you do right. You know, there's a variety of ways they could attack you in this. They could say, well, do you think that you're better than me? Or they could say, you know, you've lived your whole life doing good. Why don't you just come and do this with us now? Proposing some ungodly thing. Or they may say, you know what? Every time we want to have fun, it's you. You are the one that gets in the way. And they'll be angry. And I'll tell you, brethren, we shouldn't be surprised by that response. We should be aware that it can happen. And then I want to point out that anger can actually cause you to hate, and to hate those that are dear to you. To hate your very relative. We're not going to read it, but remember in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain killed Abel? And the Hebrew writer talks about how Abel's righteous blood then speaks to us. The righteous blood. And remember, Lance referred to the prodigal son story and the lost and found chapter of the Bible, Luke chapter 15. But remember how the brother was upset, starting in verse 27, when his younger brother, who had wasted his living and riotous living, remember then in verse 27, and he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the Bible says in verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Now, I know this is just a story, but you can picture it then. How an older brother being upset with a younger brother, we would probably represent it with the arms crossed and maybe even turning their head away from the father, moving away from where they're having this great return party. He's upset. He's not going in. He's mad. And so can you imagine someone being so angry that the very ones that they should love, they are actually going to hate? That is, their own kin, their own relatives. And you know, it can progress so far, this anger, that over in the book of Esther, Esther chapter 3, remember then that Haman was so upset with Mordecai, that Mordecai would not bow to him as he rode through the streets. That not only did he plan then to kill him, but his plan extended even further. Look at verse 2. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened when they spoke to him daily, he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But look at verse 5, or 6 rather, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Why? For they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. And so here we have it then. Haman, are you just going to take out Mordecai or Mordecai, whichever you want to call him? Are you just going to take him out? No. It's going to go beyond that. I'm going to take out all of the Jews. What do we call that? We call that genocide. He's going to kill all of the Jews. And the rest of the book tells us then about how Queen Esther saved her people and what marvelous things that God did through her. But also I want to tell you, anger can kill one innocent Christian. And I believe anger did that with the first Christian martyr found over in Acts chapter 7. Remember, as Stephen was preaching the gospel in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, and he preached the truth, even though he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And verse 54 says that they were cut to their heart from this message. And now look at verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" You would never think that people's anger towards Christianity would be that hot. I'm afraid sometimes that maybe it's coming that way even to our country today. So how then, for just the last few minutes that we have, how then would a Christian handle their anger? How should they handle their anger? Well, we read and we studied earlier that it's not wrong to be angry, but we can be angry and yet not sin. Let's read the whole verse of Ephesians 4 and in verse 26. "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So the prescription then is, even if you have anger, make sure then that you don't let that anger boil and boil and boil within you. Make sure that there is a time when you're going to reduce that anger. That anger is going to subside. And sometimes it means that we have to let some things go. But yet, in order to not let that anger consume us, we'll have to do that. Look what the psalmist said. We studied this in the Psalms class, Psalms 4:4. "Be angry and do not sin." Sounds like over in Ephesians chapter 4, doesn't it? And then he tells us what you should do. "Instead, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still." So maybe at that time there should be a quiet time. You should collect your thoughts. You should think about all this. And many times what happens when we're angry and when we get in the most trouble is we let ourselves, our jaw, it disengages, and we start talking and we say what is on our mind, and we say hurtful and mean things out of anger. Have you ever done that? I'm going to tell you a true confession. I've done that many times. I'm not proud to say it. But what if I did what the psalmist told me to do and meditate within my heart on my bed and be still? Get away from the situation. Get away from that area that's making me so angry and so mad. Have some alone time, some still time. And it's kind of like taking a pan that's on a hot burner and you slide it over to a burner that's not on. And you let that heat simmer down. And I guarantee you that's what a lot of us then should be about the business of. And then in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus advised that if we're angry, do not be angry without a cause. Look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. He said, "You have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Have you ever been mad and really not know why you were mad? Now, you're going to think I'm the most angry person in the world, but you know, there's times when I felt, and I've had to ask myself, why are you so upset? My Irish Indian temper got up for some reason. And I have to ask myself, why are you mad? Nobody's done anything to you. You're just mad to be mad. You ever been that way? This passage says, do not be angry without a cause. And then also, and we talked about this last Sunday morning about holding a grudge and how to get rid of a grudge and some of the areas around that. Once you do get angry, you got to make sure that you don't go about the business of holding a grudge. Look at the seventh chapter then of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And this time in verse 9. It says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, but look at this, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And so when you think about anger, then it says, don't hasten to be angry, but if you are angry, you got to be careful, because what anger will do is it will be kind of like water that will just kind of get there and settle and stay. And if we let ourselves, we will let anger stay in our hearts. It will just kind of remain there. And we'll get mad and we'll hold a grudge. And it doesn't matter if someone says they're sorry. Well, I'm not going to give it up. It's here, and we just don't let it go. And then the scripture also says, right? We're over here in the wisdom literature, so let's go over to the book of Proverbs, that we should not associate with angry people. Look at the 22nd division of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 22. And notice verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with the angry man, and with a furious man, do not go. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You be around enough angry people, and guess what you're going to turn into? You're going to turn into an angry person. And then we are to be slow to anger. Remember what James said in James chapter 1, James the first chapter, beginning in verse 19. He said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. All of us like to be around pleasant people, good-natured people, relaxed and calm people. Now, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm always like that. I wish I was like that. I wish that, you know, I could always have the demeanor of Brother Joel and you know, some of the other brethren around here who seem to be really calm. Yeah, Joey. Yeah, maybe we can get Joey's. Maybe they could touch me when I walk out of the building and tap some of that on me. But this is the way we should be. Slow to anger. Slow to wrath. And then I want to say we need to stay cool when others are blowing their tops. I love that little cartoon up there. You ever know anybody like that who always does that, who always blows his top? I love my principal, but there's sometimes he can be like that. He can have that type of idea. And the ladies over in the office will come over and they'll warn us and say, look out, look out. It's one of those days. So look at Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 4. It says, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. For conciliation pacifies great offenses. And finally, we need to learn to love and forgive. Our final passage then in our lesson. Come over here to Ephesians chapter 4 as we end this sermon. Ephesians 4 chapter. And notice verses 31 and verse 32. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And I believe that right there is a great passage that tells us, get rid of that anger, rather be tenderhearted, remembering that Christ also forgave us. God in Christ forgave us. So I want to tell you this now. I want to remind you that as we studied in this lesson, that anger isn't always wrong. There's some things we need to be angry about. Righteous indignation we need to be angry about. But we need to make sure that we tap back the way we respond with our anger. And we can't let anger take over our hearts and minds. We need to make sure that we have a proper response, a good response. And maybe that time when we're angry, we just need to get away from everyone. We need to go back into our room. We need to settle down. We need to calm down. We need to sue for peace in our relationships. Now, I'll tell you what. That's the way that I believe that God would have us to do in order to represent Him, in order to show the world what a Christian does when they get upset and when they get angry. I want to ask you about your soul salvation tonight. Should the Lord return this week, would you be ready? Would you be prepared? Should the Lord return tonight, would you be able and ready to meet Him? And I hope that you could say yes. I hope you could say that you are ready to meet the Lord. If not, we want to give you this valuable opportunity tonight to respond to the gospel plan of salvation. Or if you're already a child of God and you feel like you need to get your life straight in whatever manner, we'll pray with you and for you. Just let your desire be made known as we stand and as we sing.